Good morning. Welcome Friday morning ahead of the long weekend. I mentioned lots of different destinations for people over the long weekend, including the field. I got a number of people that are saying, you know what, we're stopped right now. We got a bit of rain yesterday, but we're hoping we're back in the field and going again by the weekend. Lots of people, Cooper and Watson, I will be in my tractor this long weekend seeding. Lots of people will be out there trying to get the finishing touches on seeding. The weather, in one way, you want it to cooperate. In another way, I know, especially in parts of the province that are needing moisture, you wouldn't be upset to have to take a day off from seeding because there's a nice gentle rain throwing a little bit of moisture into the ground. Hey, this story we're following this morning, just got this handed to me here from the newsroom, just came down in the last half an hour. The 14-person jury in that sexual assault trial of the five former members of the Team Canada junior team from 2018, the jury was just discharged. This just happened this morning. The judge in the case said, I have determined in this case it's appropriate to discharge the jury. I know that you have invested 4 weeks in this trial, and certainly you have the thanks of myself, court staff, and counsel for the time and effort you've put into this matter, but the jury will be discharged, so I thank you, and you are free to go. So now we're wanting and waiting to hear more details as to why that has happened in this trial. That obviously is a fairly significant happening in the trial. We'll continue to monitor that along. Okay, so phone lines are officially open, 1-877-332-8255. This notion of a referendum vote, I know we've talked about this a few different ways. Here's where I'm coming at it today, because yesterday was the last day of sitting in the spring legislature in Saskatchewan, and we know that there was discussion on this notion or on this vote because the idea of a referendum. The NDP were wanting to bring forward a bill that would change the threshold. Bill C-604 was basically intended to increase the number of plebiscite signatures needed from the 15% that it is right now to 30. It didn't. It got brought up a couple of times, but ultimately wasn't brought forward in a way that it could be voted on, so it wasn't voted on. So it will stay as is right now. The situation in Saskatchewan, a referendum or plebiscite can be triggered by 15% of eligible electors signing a petition, which contains the question that will be voted on. In this case, it would be succession from Canada. The chief electoral officer verifies the signatures before the vote can proceed. If it gets to the point that a vote will happen, it's only successful if 50% of the eligible voters participate in the vote, and of those that vote, 60% vote yes. That's how it proceeds. And then, of course, the Clarity Act kicks in. And the Clarity Act is federal legislation that essentially requires a constitutional amendment before the Canadian province is allowed to secede from Canada. So there's, like, we're talking a lot of steps. And the reality is, this is not happening. This is the chance of this going ahead is low. But that's not the question. The question is it of value to have the vote? Is it of value to have the vote to send the message to Canada, to the federal government, that we're not happy? Because right now, I would say they know that there's discontent in the West, but it's because of the murmurs, the conversations, but there's nothing official. So would something like this, even if it doesn't succeed, would a vote like this benefit our province by sending a strong message to Ottawa? Does it change things? Does the federal government start treating us differently? Do they make an effort? Now, some will say it is actually going to be more disruptive. And I know I mentioned this earlier, and some people are pushing back that it's apples to oranges. But in the 70s, 76, in Quebec, there were businesses that left Quebec. Montreal lost much of the banking industry, lost much of the insurance industry to Toronto because of the perceived instability of the Quebec market with this vote to separate. And there's already been in Alberta different business voices that have been raised saying they worry about what that does to the uncertainty of the investment market in that province, in Alberta. So where are you at on this is the question I'm asking. Is it better to have the vote and send the message, even if the vote is not successful? Or is it more hurtful to even have the vote in the first place? Does it do too much harm? Does it divide us inside the province? And does it scare away investment, business, and all of those things? Some people are arguing on the text line already that depending on the business, it actually might incentivize them if they know that there's this kind of pro-business resistance against some of the policies and regulations that we've seen come out of the federal government. What do you think? 1-877-332-8255. A couple of other things that we're following along is this notion. This is so interesting. And there was a great article. I love reading John Iveson in the National Post. I don't know if you saw his article yesterday. Title of it is "After Just One Day, Carney's Cabinet Already Looks Out of Control." So this is the whole issue of MPs appearing to sing off of a different song sheet than the prime minister is. And we've seen it happen on pipelines. We've seen it happen on housing. We've seen it happen to a degree on the Israel-Hamas situation. So it begs the question, do you favor a government that has speaking points that represent the entire government and you don't have MPs out talking on their own? Because we've seen a lot of governments like that. I would suggest Trudeau's government was like that. I think even Stephen Harper's government, they all would follow the single message that their party represented on an issue. Or do you like it when MPs are free to speak their mind, even if it's counterintuitive to what maybe the prime minister is saying or the policy of the federal government might be? 1-877-332-8255. And by the way, on a lighter note, $80 million, the biggest single lottery win in Canadian history, was handed out to a fellow from Surrey. He quit his job instantly and, of course, talked about, you know, buying a beautiful house in downtown Vancouver, which sparks always the conversation, what would you do? Have you been one of those people that's made the list? Of course, you pay off some debt and you'll do that kind of stuff. Fair enough. But what would you do with $80 million? $80 million changes lots of things for you and your family and your friends if you choose to spread it around. What would be your big splurge? There's lots to talk about. Phone lines are open, 1-877-332-8255, as are the text lines, and I would love to hear from you. Let's go to Elida, Saskatchewan. I've got Gray on the line. Thanks so much for calling in. What are your thoughts on this whole referendum? Is it a good idea to actually have the vote, do you think?
Yes, good morning, Ian. Yes. Have the vote. Have the referendum. See what the population feels like. Ian, I'm so tired of the GTA pushing their agenda on us that, yes, have a vote. Have a referendum and see what the population likes.
So let's say the vote happens and it doesn't pass, so the majority of Saskatchewan people don't want to secede from Canada, you think the message that it sends, does it help us? Does it give us leverage with the feds?
Well, I would think so. And if the population don't want it, I guess that's where we stand. Mm-hmm. We let Ontario push us around again, mm-hmm. and there we go. So, you do, I guess, what the population wants.
Right. But okay, so you're putting a check in the category that it's better to have the vote. Number one, I'm getting the sense that you feel it's time. But number two, even if it's not time, it does send the message. And that's what a lot of people, I think, are saying. If I look at the texts that are coming in on the text line, 1-877-332-8255. Cameron in Regina, in the West, it's the federal policies that hinder the growth and investments of the energy sector. I'm not suggesting separation at this time, but to say even the mere talk of it is scaring off prospective investors is typical NDP fear-mongering. So that, I don't know that came from the NDP. I just was watching a news clip last night where some business and corporations in Alberta were raising this as an issue. So This wasn't coming from a political party, and it wasn't Saskatchewan. So full disclosure, it was Alberta where I saw it. But it begs the question, because we know it happened in Quebec in the 70s. Some people are saying, not the same situation at all. What happened in Quebec and what is happening here? Fair enough. But could it have the same outcome? You tell me. 1-877-332-8255. Mark in Ceylon says, I am from Quebec. The Quebec separation was more proposed by a left government, very similar to the past 10 years of irresponsible overspending, anti-development government that we've seen federally, as opposed to the Saskatchewan and Alberta government, who are obviously more responsible, proactive, want this country to work efficiently. There is a big difference between the two. Mark says, I voted no in Quebec. I would vote yes in the West. Interesting perspective coming from a fellow who is there in the Quebec discussions in the 70s and now is out here and looks at it as a very different beast. 1-877-332-8255. Let's take our first break. I know we got some calls coming in. Lots to discuss. It's Friday morning. Fill up your coffee. We'll be back with Open Lines here momentarily. 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. Break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. It's an interesting conversation on the notion of a referendum vote. This has been bubbling for quite some time. The notion of should we have a referendum vote about separating from Canada. Many people are saying it's actually not about the outcome of the vote. And I've said this before, and I know there's some people that are criticizing me for it. The reality is that vote's not passing. It's not. If you look at what the thresholds are that need to be met, I know there's some unhappy people, but I don't for a second think that vote would pass. But that's not really what we're talking about. What we're talking about is, would it be helpful to have the vote? Would it be helpful to have the vote? Because then you're sending the message. It's like, oh my gosh, look what's going on in Saskatchewan. They're talking about leaving the country. Is that the shakeup that the East needs to wake up and pay attention to the West? Alberta's further down the road than we are on this right now, so it's going to be more of a topic for them, I would suggest, in the near future. I do see a text here that says, we talk a lot about national security. A separation vote is a wedge issue that foreign governments would love to use to exploit division. We need to promote national unity in this moment of crisis. That's Jim from Regina. Here's a text. I threw out one of the other things that I was talking about today is this $80 million lottery win and said, what would you do if you won the $80 million? Well, Andrew and Esteban's blending both these topics. What would I do with $80 million? I would get the heck out of Canada, he says, as fast as possible. I'd invest maybe in a bicycle shop in Bermuda. Andrew, thanks for the text. 1-877-332-8255. Cindy out of Saskatoon, interesting concept. She says, you know what? To me, it's about the referendum question. We should be asking Canadians what they would like to see in terms of a deep dive investigation regarding every level of our electoral process at every political level, given all of the things that no longer make sense. That would be a good thing to get a discussion going on, electoral reform in the way of a referendum vote. Cindy, thanks for that. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, let's go to Mike in Prince Albert. Mike, thanks so much for calling in. What do you think? If we had a referendum vote in Saskatchewan, is it helpful to our province? Does it send the message we want the East to get?
You know, I have two points. One point is that, you know, even if we got the referendum, then what? What's the point? Are we really going to separate? Where are we going to go? You know, are we going to join the Americans or what? You know,
yeah,
what are we
trying
to do here? Right?
I think I'm just going to answer that part, Mike. I want to hear what else you've got to say. I think most people aren't saying they want to join the states. They're just saying they don't want the status quo. They want to break free. They want to be considered their own dominion as opposed to being part of Canada. I think that's what people are saying.
I know. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. But the next topic I have is that, I mean, the next point is that why all this topic is only happens when the Liberals, you know, are in power. When the Conservatives are in power, why this topic is not coming then? Why are we not getting what we want when the Conservatives are there?
Because we've had problems with Conservative federal governments as well, Mike, right?
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, as Saskatchewan Albertans, you know, they're all conservative, right? That's what we want at all times. And this has happened just because the Liberals right now came in power.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when Trudeau and Harper was there, we could have got what we want, you know, but we're not doing it. If you look at the, in term of conservative and the Liberals, they're almost 50-50, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anytime the Liberals are up, you know, okay, let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
But when the conservatives are there, we're not doing anything about it whatsoever. So what's the point of even talking about it right now?
We'll have to we're gonna have to tuck that into our memory banks and see if this becomes a discussion again in a day and time when we've got a federal conservative government. Because that many people have been pointing that out on the line. The whole idea, and it doesn't matter which political party you support, if you are going to be honest with yourself, you can say that it's over years we've had problems with the West being recognized, with the West being given value by the East. There's all this perception has lasted for a long time. So this is, if we're being very honest with ourselves, this is not necessarily a new topic. Yeah, I think we can argue it's exacerbated the last 10 years with policies, especially this whole anti-oil and gas movement, which drives, we know, a big part of our economy, Alberta's economy. That has been very hurtful. And I think that's maybe what's bubbled this to the surface. I think that's why so many people are feeling this so much more strongly today. 1-877-332-8255. I got time for one more call before we head to our next break. Alan, thanks so much for calling in. A referendum vote, does it help us?
Well, Evan, yes, we pretty well have to. I'm an old man in Saskatchewan. I've been a proud Canadian all my life, with hockey, they all, but this situation with the East, and it's just beyond belief what they've done to us. And we don't have to join the state. That in mind, we do not have to join the state.
Yeah.
We could be a little mini republic here with Alberta, out of BC, and there's definitely a lot of Manitoba, Western Manitoba, interested. And we could probably be one of the richest countries in the world. So these scare tactics that we're going to get from the CBC and the CTV and everything going forward are all scare tactics because they don't want to lose us because we're the gravy.
Yeah. So, Alan, I hear your passion in your voice just quickly because we're almost out of time. Do you think if we have the vote and it doesn't pass, do you think there's still value? Have we achieved something? Have we gained leverage?
Well, very minimum, because they don't really give a hoot down east what we do here. They don't even know where we are. We
right.
exist most of the time, you know?
Gotcha. So it's kind of an all or nothing. Alan feels it's like we need the vote, and we need to vote yes. 1-877-332-8255. Oh, I got a texter and a caller about what they would do if they won the $80 million. Good stuff. It's open line, so whatever you would like to talk about, we can chat about that. And we'll be right back with more of your thoughts here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the show. Evan Bray, great to have you here. I mentioned this, so we've been following this. Our newsroom is on top of it as well. The 14-person jury in the sexual assault trial of the five former members of 2018 Team Canada World Junior Hockey Team have been discharged. The 14-member jury, this just happened this morning. The judge basically says, I've determined in this case it is appropriate to discharge the jury. She goes on to give them thanks, says, I know you've invested 4 weeks in this trial. We thank you for your effort, but the jury is discharged. You're free to go. Which is really weird. You wonder why, how is this happening? I poked my head in the newsroom and said, if you guys find out any information, can you get it to me to help me understand why this would happen? And lo and behold, Kevin Martell shows up, our morning news anchor on CJME. Kevin, have we learned something as to why the judge made this decision?
Yeah, we're getting a little bit new information on this. And it coincidentally, or maybe not coincidentally, comes one day after one of the jurors complained that the defense lawyers were acting unprofessionally. And so a note was read aloud.
Like towards the juror, they were acting unprofessional?
Exactly. And so a note was read aloud in court. I'll read you a little bit of what that note said. Multiple jury members feel we are being judged and made fun of by the defense lawyers. Every day we enter the courtroom, they observe us, whisper to each other, and turn to each other and laugh as if they are discussing our appearance. This is unprofessional and unacceptable. So that is in part what the note said. The judge took that note. And here we are today. Wow. One day later, the judge says the jurors can go home. Now, it's important to note as well, this is not declared a mistrial.
Right.
The trial will continue now. Mm-hmm. There will be no jurors. It will be judge alone.
So judge alone trial. We're not skipping a beat on the trial. They don't have to bring back any evidence. Anything that's been entered into evidence is fine because the judge has been there for the whole trial.
Yeah, and that's the indication that we're getting. Because remember, one of the complainants has been testifying for days, mm-hmm. going through at times emotional testimony, reliving that sure. particular night in the hotel room discussing. And so it's been, as you can imagine, probably very difficult for that complainant on the stand for the last number of days.
Have we heard anything from the defense lawyers on this decision yet?
So TSN reports that when this letter, this aforementioned letter, was read aloud, the lawyers, the defense lawyers, looked at each other and mouthed, "What?" And that's so, that's yeah. pretty well, yeah.
Well, I'm guessing we'll hear more from them because there is usually some strong feelings towards whether or not defense lawyers would like to have a jury or a judge trial, and there's different reasons why people select one or the other. In this case, a jury trial was selected, so it'll be very interesting to see how the defense lawyers for Michael McLeod, Alex Formenton, Dylan Dubé, Carter Hart, and Cal Foote, how they are all going to respond to this. But thanks for popping in. I appreciate the update, Kevin.
No problem.
Kevin Martell from our CJME newsroom. Okay. Open Lines is going strong, and we got a few different discussions on the go, which I always like. I said, if you won $80 million, what would you do? $80 million is a lot of money. It was just handed out. It's the largest ever single person lottery win in Canadian history. Just handed out to a fellow from Surrey, BC. Quit his job immediately, which many people say they would do. Says he's going to buy himself a nice house in downtown Vancouver. I got Ryan on the line in LaRange. Ryan, what would you do? $80 million.
That's a lot of money, I tell you. I was a fishing guide for 15 years right across Canada's north, and it can be hard to get supplies up there, especially as a guide. So what I would do is I'd buy an airplane, probably a nice Beaver, a real nice one, and I would have a hotline. I'd deliver supplies to down and out fishing guides, kind of like Batman.
I love this, Ryan. I was just going to say you are a modern day Batman.
Yeah, there'd be three items I would deliver: whiskey, cigarettes, and weed for all the down and out fishing guides across the north.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate you've got a vision. Now all you got to do is put part two into play and win the $80 million next time it's up for grabs. Thanks for calling in 1-877-332-8255. Back to the discussion on the referendum is, and basically the discussion we've been having today is not how you would vote. I know people are volunteering that information, but that's of little consequence in the question of, are we doing the right thing by having a referendum vote? Does it help us send the message loudly, or is it counterintuitive to success to bring it up and have the vote in the first place? And that's what I'm looking to hear from you today. I got Greg in Saskatoon. What do you think, Greg? Are we better off to have the vote or not?
You know, I honestly, good morning, Evan. I don't think it would make a bit of difference. What I would like to see is if, you know, like, okay, the provinces are all separate. We all have our agendas. We all have our needs and wants. But when you have a federal election, it's collective. And that's wrong because we don't have the amount of people that they do down east, or on the coast there by on Vancouver. And you know, like, what we need is to have the vote go by the province. Mm. So like, in, let's say 70% people voted conservative, you know, in Saskatchewan, that would be the number. And then you get all the provinces have their vote, and then you average it all out, and that's who wins. That would make it a we would have a louder voice that way.
Mm-hmm. Electoral reform, I mean, there's a few people that have brought it up. In fact, Cindy, I mentioned from Saskatoon earlier, brought up, she thinks that should be the referendum question, because it would be interesting to see what not just Saskatchewan people think, but Canadians think on the notion of electoral reform. I'm guessing there would be a lot of people saying, it's time. By the way, we're working on getting a guest that could come on. I saw a recent article talking about if we had a different electoral system, so that if we strayed away from this first-past-the-post system that we have, what would that do? Would that change the dynamics in some of the provinces, some of the territories, some of the parts of the country that have been strongholds for the Liberals, say, or strongholds for the Conservatives? Would we see that change if we changed up the way in which we vote and counted votes? So I'm hoping we'll secure a guest that'll come on and join us here in the next week to talk about that. Greg, thanks so much for the call. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of texts coming in, weighing in on this issue of would a referendum vote be a good thing? Cheryl in Saskatoon says, good morning, Evan. Trump is just sitting back and laughing at all of the separatism talk. He's trying not to make any trade deals with Canada yet because he truly wants to ruin our economy and annex us. And a separation vote is totally disrespectful to our First Nations people. I think equalization payments should be based on population, but I am curious to see how much money the federal government has given oil and gas companies and other sectors, including agriculture in the West. We also have the Synchrotron and Veto in Saskatchewan. So there's a couple of things in this text from Cheryl. Absolutely, the Synchrotron Veto, those are great things that we have in this province, and the federal government has been a good partner on, for sure. The federal government certainly hasn't, in the last number of years, been friendly to oil and gas companies. And on the agriculture front, I mean, we've talked about the agri-stability benefit being basically an insurance policy that farmers themselves have to pay premiums into. So there, I would suggest that there is going to be a lot of people quickly to the mic to say, we certainly haven't seen a gross level of support for agriculture out of the federal government over the last little while. And we've chatted about that on the show quite a bit. The other topic that we started talking about today is this notion of, should you have one unified voice? So you've got your speaking points that come from the federal government, and whether it's the prime minister or a person who's in cabinet, they should be following the same speaking points. And I can kind of go both ways on this, because I found it frustrating in the past when you've got, you know, you've got the prime minister will say something, and then you ask an MP a question, and all you hear is them mimicking what the prime minister has said. Like, they don't have the freedom to speak on their own. But that said, we were one day into this newly formed cabinet, and we were already having cabinet ministers saying things that were completely different than what the prime minister was saying. So Mark Carney, in that conversation he had with Vashi Kapelos the day that the cabinet was announced, he said, yes, I'm in favor of looking at or developing a pipeline. He talked about some of the other things that he wants to do. The same day, Stephen Guilbeau, who is no longer the environment minister but decided to step in front of a microphone and weigh into it, said this.
So on pipelines, people should remember that we bought a pipeline, Trans Mountain, and that is only used right now about 40% capacity. So I think before we start talking about building an entire new pipeline, maybe we should maximize the use of existing infrastructure. And the Canadian Energy Regulator, as well as the International Energy Agency, are telling us that probably by 2028, 2029, demand for oil will peak globally, and it will also peak in Canada. So as far as I know, there are no investors right now. There are no companies that are saying that they want to build an east-west pipeline. And as you know, these things are built by companies, not governments.
Gosh, you heard me go on my diatribe about that yesterday. I'm not going to repeat everything I said, but there's four points in there that I take exception with, and not the least of which is, why is he even talking about it? He's not the environment minister, but he can't help himself. He can't help himself. And mark my words, we may not hear it out of Mark Carney's mouth, but if you could read his mind, he is probably already got some frustration with Stephen Guilbeau and what is coming out of his mouth. John Iveson's article that I referred to that was in the National Post yesterday, just after just one day, Carney cabinet already looks out of control. He's talking about Anita Anand, the new foreign affairs minister, decided to wade into the quagmire of the Middle East politics. Didn't have a very good impact there. Talking about the new housing minister, Gregor Robinson, who, of course, was the former mayor of Vancouver, asked if housing prices needed to fall, said, no, we need to deliver more supply to make sure the market is stable. A move that even a cabinet minister should be able to see would lower prices. Lots of people viewed that as an admission that the new minister doesn't think housing should be affordable for a younger generation. So there's a list of cases already where MPs have started speaking counter to what Mark Carney is saying. You wonder if there's going to be a pull everybody into an afternoon meeting, pull down the blinds, lock the door, and have a bit of a, okay, let's get a couple of things straight type of thing. Now, there are lots of questions about what could be done. Like, if we truly want to propel Canada forward as an energy superpower, which we've heard Mark Carney say, we've heard Pierre Poilievre say. So if there's a will, and there seems to be a will from the two big parties in Canada to do that, how do we do that? That was one of the questions I asked Tim Gitzel yesterday morning, the Cameco CEO.
Yeah, well, you know, we're all of the above. When you say, well, what energy should we use? And we say all of it. Like, let's all of it. And we'll use whatever we need here in Canada. And then what we don't, if we have an abundance of supply, let's export it around the world. We know the world wants our natural gas. We know the world wants our oil, our uranium. Let's keep what we need for us, and then let's generate that wealth from the excess supply that we have around the world and bring it back here then, Evan, and fix our health care and fix our education, our schools and our roads. Like, let's do that. So, we're pro-development and pro-export, and let's use the natural resources that we're blessed with here in this country and in this province, and bring back resources and make life better for Canadian citizens.
It was Tim Gitzel yesterday on the show. If you want to hear the whole interview with Tim, it's always good chatting with him, having him on the show. You can catch it by going to the Evan Bray Show page on our website. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Open lines continues until 10, and then we shift into bugs and hugs. So really, the lines don't close. We just give you a chance to broaden the scope of things you want to talk about. Bugs and hugs every Friday at 10, your chance to let us know what's bugging you, what you want to talk about, you want to get it off your chest, or send out a hug to put us in a good mood heading into this long weekend. Bugs and Hugs is coming up at 10. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house. I would buy you a
fellow
house.
By the name of Justin Simporios from Surrey, BC, has $80 million. He wins the big jackpot. It's the largest ever awarded to a single person in Canadian history. $80 million. And I was asking this morning, what would you do if you won $80 million? Bryn in Saskatoon would establish healthcare centers in the province, like the Dubay family did with their breast health center at City Hospital. Their support changed so many lives, including mine, Bryn says. We need faster cancer diagnosis and treatment. I would also open a wraparound service facility in Saskatoon for those needing drug rehabilitation and mental health services. The ultimate goal being able to give people their lives back, enabling them to thrive and not just survive. So apparently I'd have the money spent in one day, says Bryn. Cal and Kenora, if I want 80 mil, new rink for Kenora, or for Kenora, for Kenora. Good job for Kenora, for sure. 1-877-332-8255. We're also talking about this notion of, should we have the referendum on separation? Wilf reminding people what happens if we separate from Canada when it comes to medical care, OAS, CPP, on and on. Got some concerns there. Donovan and Regina, the separation talk has been alive since at least the 80s. It's louder when the Liberals are in because of their anti-West policies. It still happens when the Conservatives are in power, just a little more quiet. I think we need the vote only if to see where the whole West stands, and also to show the East how close they are to losing a chunk of money that we in the West can supply them with. Thanks to everybody who joined the conversation on open lines today. And no, they are not closing, but we are transitioning into Bugs and Hugs every Friday at 10. Your chance to call in your bugs, your hugs. And I look forward to hearing from you after 10 right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.